You can take your Bibles tonight and you can turn to Luke chapter 2. So we're a little delayed, but tonight we're going to have the exciting conclusion of the birth of Jesus Christ. Last time we met, we looked at the birth of John the Baptist, and we looked at the details of Mary and Joseph's marriage. John's birth happened in March of 3 BC, approximately. And Mary had conceived about 3 months prior in December of 4 BC. So we'll begin tonight in Luke chapter 2, which is 6 months after the birth of John, which would be September of 3 BC, which is right about the time that Jesus Christ is ultimately born. So even though Christmas is in recognition of the birth of Jesus Christ, his actual birthday takes place in September of 3 BC. So Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all the world is a figure of speech, meaning a very large part of it, which emphasizes the size of the Roman Empire. And the word taxed is the word for register or enroll, so that all the world should be registered or enrolled. This enrollment was for an upcoming event. In the year 2 BC, the following year, there was to be the Silver Jubilee. And the Silver Jubilee marked 25 years of rule by Caesar Augustus. So it was the 25th year of his rule. It just so happened that the 25th year of his rule was also his 60th birthday. So he would be 60 during the 25th year of his rule. And it also happened that it's the 750th anniversary of the founding of Rome. So it was a pretty monumental year. It was to be 25 years of rule by Caesar on his 60th birthday during that year, and marking 750 years since the founding of Rome. So the registration was for a declaration of allegiance to Caesar in honor of these events. So they basically sent out news across the empire and said, you have to come and register and enroll and declare your allegiance to Caesar in honor of this. And historical record backs up this enrollment in 3 BC, if you want to break out your history books. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And if you want to kind of make a little notation there, the verse should be read with a comma after first. This taxing was first, and it was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And this is because there are two registrations during a 10-year period. The second is in around 6 or 7 AD. And this was to levy a tax. It was to actually tax people so that they would show up and start paying their tribute. But it was not empire-wide. And Cyrenius was literal governor then, but in this case, he was simply on special assignment during 3 BC's registration. So the word governor here means leader, commander, or chief. So that's why there is some confusion regarding Jesus Christ's birth date, because historically speaking, Cyrenius was governor during a taxation period, but this period is referring to an enrollment when he was simply a leader, commander, or chief over this registration. Verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And we'll see a little bit more about that in verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called what?
Bethlehem.
Because he was of the house and lineage of David. So we saw that in prior teachings, that Joseph was of the lineage of David. And to register, you had to go to your own city, where your family was originally from, where your lineage was. So that's why he leaves Nazareth and goes to Bethlehem, because he needs to go register in his own city, as it said in verse 3. So Judea is a region, and Bethlehem is where his ancestors from, and that's where he ends up going. All of this culminates in the prophecy that we read about a few teachings ago in Micah 5:2 that said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. That's why they were there for the registration. Verse 5. To be taxed or to register with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So she's far along at this point. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be what?
Delivered.
So she was great with child. It was time to have the baby. Verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So everybody's there to register and things are pretty packed. So there's no room for them at the inn. You can leave a finger here or a ribbon and go to Ezekiel 16, verse 1. Ezekiel 16, verse 1. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel 16, verse 1. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because Jerusalem, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee, thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. These are insulting remarks made to a baby. It was something that was proper and done to have thy navel cut. Obviously, to cut the umbilical cord. It was proper and something that was supposed to be done for royalty that they were to be washed, to be cleaned up from their birth, and that they were to be salted and swaddled. Okay? So it was customary to be salted or swaddled, and to not be was an insult. It signified that the child was dishonest or without integrity. So part of the noble tradition in those lands and times was that the child would be salted and swaddled to represent their honesty and their uprightness. So you can go back to Luke chapter 2. So it was a big deal. It signifies his kingly nature that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It also says in verse 7, she brought forth her what?
Firstborn
son. So Jesus had siblings. Would say his only born son or only child if that were the case. But it's his firstborn son. So Jesus had siblings.
He did.
Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So that field, there were in the same country abiding in the field shepherds. In that same area, centuries earlier, Samuel anointed the shepherd David king, because this was David's hometown. And that field refers to a farmer's field. Farmers would hire shepherds in the late summer and early fall to keep their flocks overnight in their fields so that the sheep and the animals could poop all over their fields all night and fertilize them. So shepherds were caretakers of livestock. That was their job. But farmers would hire them, say, come bring all your animals to my field, and they could do all their business over it all night and fertilize the field. So that's what they were doing. But they only did this in late summer and early fall because it gets really cold outside in the winter. So it would be very unusual if Jesus Christ was born on December 25th for the shepherds to be out overnight in their fields. It would be too cold. So that's what they're doing. They're out in the fields watching the flock. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the word is aposti, which means stood by them. So they were not floating around and singing songs. They were standing by the shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Because once again, you're out in the field in the middle of the night, and somebody suddenly pops up next to you, it's going to freak you out. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they said that to them. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So suddenly with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, a whole bunch of angels show up, and they all said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Toward men. They didn't sing it. They said it. But that's what they said. That there would be goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So they were so excited, they left their post and their flock, and they went to go see the new child, the baby Jesus, that the angels had told them about. And they hurried, they rushed, because it wouldn't be long that the child would be in swaddling clothes. This wasn't something that, you know, they kept them in day after day. It was a momentary thing that they did after the washing to swaddle them up. So they ran to find him. And it says, when they heard it, or after they saw it, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. God did not send his angels to tell everyone about Jesus Christ. He didn't send the messengers to King Herod. He didn't send angels to King Herod to tell the king. He didn't send angels to high priests. He didn't send angels to other religious leaders, to the wealthiest of citizens. He sent his messengers to the shepherds, and they noised it abroad with great boldness and enthusiasm. Verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. They were so excited. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So he was circumcised. And that's significant because, A, Jesus needed to fulfill the law, and that was part of the law. And circumcision was a token of the covenant between God and Abraham's seed of a promised Messiah, which Jesus Christ himself was. That was the whole point of the circumcision, was a covenant between God and Abraham, seeing that a Messiah was coming. And here he was, circumcised himself as the Messiah. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And that openeth to the womb means that every firstborn male belonged to God according to the law. After about a month, the parents were to pay 5 shekels to a priest as a symbol of God's deliverance of the firstborn at Passover in the Exodus from Egypt. So when they had a firstborn child, they would go to Jerusalem and they would pay this tribute as a symbol of, you know, dating back to when God took care of the firstborns from Egypt. Put a finger here, go to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1. Again, everything that they were doing was to fulfill the law. And the Lord, Leviticus 12, verse 1, and the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So when it said in verse 22 that the days of her purification were accomplished, this is what it's talking about. Verse 5, but if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days, so 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath born a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, and the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So there you go. So that's what the law said. This was to take place after giving birth to a child. So that's what they're doing. Verse 24, back in Luke chapter 2, verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit was upon him. So just remember, whenever you're singing about 2 turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree, it's because it's in the law of Moses. Fun fact. Anyway. So there's this guy, Simeon. He has Holy Spirit upon him. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, by High Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before all the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things, which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So there's this great guy, Simeon, and he was obviously a man of God. He had Holy Spirit on him, and he wasn't going to see death or die before he got a chance to see the coming Messiah. And then he gives this great speech to them by revelation, and through verses 28 through 32. What fantastic words, and what a blessing it must have been to Mary and Joseph to hear this guy speak to them by the Holy Spirit, by revelation. And then in verse 35 he says, Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And Mary would need great courage to raise a son that so many people would speak against. She would have to witness his sacrifice for all mankind, and this would reach the depths of her heart. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers day and night. And she, coming in the instant, in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, into to their own city, Nazareth. So verses 38 and 39 represent a great passage of time. It says, what they were just talking about with Anna there finishes up in verse 38, and then verse 39, and when they had performed all these things, represents a great passage of time. And the events are recorded in Matthew, so let's go there. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. So they had gone to Jerusalem to perform all the stuff that they had to do according to the law, and they eventually returned to Galilee, to their own city in Nazareth. But before they return, a bunch of stuff happens. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to where?
Jerusalem.
To where? Were they... Where were they? Jerusalem. Were they in Bethlehem?
No.
Were they there when little baby Jesus was swaddling?
No.
No. They were not there. But lots of people put out nativity scenes with wise men looking at baby Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem. But they came to Jerusalem saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to what? Worship him. The word wise men is the word magi. They were Gentile priests or religious figures. They were Persians. They were sun worshipers. They were astronomers. But they had seen something in studying the stars that led them to Jesus Christ. We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And that star in the east, as we'll see in a little bit, is ultimately Jupiter. Verse 2, or 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not at least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel. So, again, in Micah 5:2, it talks about out of Bethlehem. And when Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found them, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So, I apologize. I just made a whole big deal about how they weren't in Bethlehem. I screwed up. They're apparently going to Bethlehem. I blew that entirely. My bad. You could cut it out with tape. So they're going to Bethlehem. I got all excited. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So that star, if you want to read about it in Jesus Christ, I Promise Seed, it goes through all of the astronomy involved, but it ends up being that star is identified as Jupiter. And in the east means that it's at its rising. So that's how they were able to identify where the child would be born. And when they saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And that was the part that I wanted to emphasize, because I screwed up earlier. They came into the what? Into the house. So they were not there in the manger, in the stables. It was a young child with Mary, because there was a great deal of time that had passed between the birth of Jesus Christ and then when they went back to Galilee. So they weren't there at the birth, but they did come and find the child, Jesus. And they brought him, they opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So, the gifts that they present are precious royal gifts. They came bearing gifts that were fit for a king. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And a lot of people believe or tell the tradition of there being three magi because there were three gifts here, but it does not say how many magi were present. Just that they gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. But they are warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, and they depart back into their own country, back into Persia, a different way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee where? Into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And Hosea 1:1 talks about, again, we saw that prophecy in an earlier teaching, that out of Egypt would come the Messiah, because they had to flee there to get away from Herod. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken out of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And there it is. Back in Hosea 1:1. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So Herod, being very upset that the wise men didn't return to him, when he figures out they're not coming back, he sends word to kill all the children that are in Bethlehem and any surrounding area 2 years old and younger. So he knew an approximate age from the information that he got from the Magi about when Jesus Christ was born. And if this had been something brand new and the Magi were going to see a newborn baby, then there wasn't any need to kill all children 2 years and younger. But it was because the Magi went to see Jesus Christ sometime after his birth, but not actually on the day of his birth. And he was a young child that Herod had to kind of approximate and make sure he got everything. And so he declares 2 years and under. But Joseph and Mary are out of town. They're in Egypt. Jesus Christ is safe. Verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. And if you want to look it up at some point, if you go to Jeremiah 31 verse 15, Ramah is a town 5 miles north of Jerusalem. So this prophecy involves the surrounding areas where these poor little kids were all killed by Herod, seeking to kill Jesus Christ. Verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside to go into the parts of Galilee. And when he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a what? Nazarene. Nazarene. And if you go back to Luke chapter 2, we'll close here. Luke chapter 2, verse 39 again. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. So this happened after, you know, Jesus Christ had grown up a couple years, after the wise men came, after they had to flee into Egypt to escape Herod, and after Herod's death. Verse 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And so that's the true story of the birth of Jesus Christ and all that God did to guide Mary and Joseph to where they needed to be to fulfill the prophecies spoken of him, that they should fulfill the law, because that was something that Jesus Christ had to do, and to keep him safe and protected when Herod would have him killed.